A few years ago, Stacy and I began a friendship with a new family that showed up at church. And as we grew in our friendship with them, Tom, the father, came to me and he said, "You know, Dale, I'm trying to plan a father and son getaway." And so before I could even say anything else to him, he said, "My dad owns a cabin in the White River National Forest Park, just outside of Silk, Colorado. And I'd like for you and Trey to come along, and it'll be a great weekend. And I'm still trying to get in a word." And he says, "Here's the date and time where we're meeting. We're glad you're coming along." And so we showed up at that little rest stop off of Silk, Colorado. And I was not prepared for what happened next. So there were four of us, four dads and four sons. And right outside the rest stop were four 4-wheelers. Now, this was like manliness on steroids, right? And Tom explained to me that we had to literally take about a 4-mile 4-wheel trip just to get to the cabin in the White River National Forest. And so it was like, this is going to be something spectacular, right? And so we loaded our fishing poles and our sleeping bags on these 4-wheelers, and we took off up the hill and through meadows and around, and it was absolutely stunning. At one point, we turned a corner, and we saw the beautiful view of Mount Sopris up on the high hills on the White River National Forest, and then we turned and came around this fascinating meadow with some rolling hills, and that's when I saw it. We turned that corner, and it was a meadow filled and overflowing with wildflowers. There were reds, and there were blues, and there were purples. All of these wonderful wildflowers. And something I never thought would have happened, happened. All of a sudden, all four of the 4-wheelers stopped. And we just kind of took our sons, and all 8 of us stood in front of this rolling meadow of wildflowers. Now, I need to explain something at this point. These are Western Slopes men, if you don't understand. They know hunting and fishing and church in that order. And so flowers aren't something that men like this stop at, but it was so stunning. It was so flourishing and brilliant that all 8 of us stood there. And I looked over at these 3 guys next to me, and there were tears in their eyes, tears at this beauty, that in this spot of creation, God had done something to flourish these incredible flowers. And so that was a moment of wonder, a moment of awe of what happens in our world, in creation that's all around us. And I think that moments of wonder happen all the time in our lives. No matter how high we are, how low we are, wonder is everywhere. And when we experience these moments of wonder, ordinary language doesn't always work to express it. And so we use poetry. And so the poet of the Hebrew Bible says this: "You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be counted." Wonder and wildflowers. And so I wonder today, have you experienced genuine wonder? And I wonder, when was the last time you took a deep breath because you knew that what was happening in this moment was special, unique, even irreplaceable? And I wonder, have you experienced wonder at a concert, on a beach, at a sunset near the end of the day? Maybe even on the first snowfall of the winter season. In the eyes of your son or daughter, or maybe even in a worship service that stirred your heart and inspired you to stand up and become more. Where have you experienced that sense of wonder that just causes you to pause your whole world and think, "Oh, wow, amazing." Wildflowers, for me, capture that sense of wonder, and they capture something more because I like 3 distinct things about wildflowers. I like, first of all, that they're fierce. And I mean, I have seen wildflowers grow up from cracks in the concrete. I like that out of the dirt, they struggle and fight and claw their way up to grow. But I also like that wildflowers are beautiful. They shine and share their beautiful colors with the world. They have learned to not be afraid of sharing the gifts that they have to offer the world. And then I like also that they live in community. They flourish best when they live in wildflower families. And so they share the soil with each other. They give to each other and serve one another in unique ways. And my metaphor for the church, my metaphor for becoming more is a wildflower. And I think that God is about growing the wildflower within us, helping us to have character, fierceness, courage, but also helping us to have that sensitivity, that beauty, that sense of shining and shimmeriness that inspires other people to grow. And then to live in service and community to one another. So over the last 2 years, I have seen the wonder of worship and wildflowers at St. Andrew. And I want to share with you a little bit about my personal journey here. Now, this is the point in the presentation where we're going to push the gas. And we're going to go about 0 to 60 because it's Communion Sunday. Are you ready? Here we go. So it takes some basic things for wildflowers. It takes seeds and soil and water and sunshine. Some basic things. And so I want to talk to you about the wonder of seeds. Over 2 years ago, before I came to St. Andrew, I met Cindy Bates. And Cindy Bates, as many of you already know, has this extraordinary gift of listening and hearing and asking deep and penetrating questions. And she was interested in the work that I was doing. And she was fascinated by some of the things I was able to do. But then all of a sudden, she said, "Hey, can we meet again?" And I was like, uh-oh, something is going on. And in this second meeting, she says, "Oh, by the way, the Reverend Harvey Martz would like to meet you and talk to you." And so whereas Cindy was loving and listening and pulling out who I was and what I hoped to do with my ministry, Harvey was like, "We'd like to bring you to St. Andrew, if that's possible. Right down to the business." And then as a transition from Harvey came Gary, and Gary has been nothing but a support, continuing to water my ministry here and make it flourish in every way possible. And so then Harvey said, "We've brought in a consultant, and this consultant has urged us at St. Andrew that we really need to start another service." So they brought in this man named Doug Anderson, and he wrote up this report on October 13, 2011, and he says this: "I recommend that an additional worship service geared for younger adults, youth, and children, especially with no significant church connection, be added to St. Andrew. This style of postmodern worship service will continue to be very meaningful to the current congregation that already attends that worship service and to many of those who are unchurched in your ministry area, particularly persons who are unchurched and those under 45 years of age. This service will be held in the Fellowship Hall, previous sanctuary, at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday with the relaxed style that is inviting and open to everyone, especially those that are younger and unchurched." And then he says this words. This is an official consultant report. "Yes, you would have two concurrent services at two venues at 10:30 a.m. with two preachers, like is common in a very large church. This service would be truly an epic worship service, which means experiential, participatory, image-driven, and connecting to God through others, as described in Leonard Sweet's book, Postmodern Pilgrims." And so then you brought me here. And I have to be honest that when you read a consultant's report and it's kind of like, "Hey, go do that," there's something like awe-inspiring and wonderful about it. But it's like, okay, how do I make that like grow right here, right? There's a sense you have to translate all this consultant language. And so there's a sense that I had to rewrite the psalm for today. "You are going to have to multiply, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts towards us." Have you ever been in that place where you're like, wow, what they're asking me to do, it's going to cost, it's going to take a lot, it's going to be everything. So our mission statement at St. Andrew was to invite, receive, nurture, challenge, and send forth committed Christian disciples. And my job here has been to do this, has been to grow a team of committed leaders and create an innovative and pioneering worship service that intentionally uses the epic model and reaches people who are unfamiliar or discontent with the church, i.e. younger and more diverse people, and inspires them to be committed Christian disciples. So we all breathe and say, wow, that's easy, right? You just miracle grow, right? And so We ask ourselves the question, what is epic? What is this language we throw around? And this is a helpful like teaching schema of Leonard Sweet's book. And epic basically means that we are encountering a tsunami shift in history and culture. Our social, economic, and political world is changing in fast ways. And so what we see happening in the minds and hearts of young people is that they're being more formed by experience. And so what the church has to do is create events around holistic encounters between the heart and the head. And what we have to do, and this is in contradistinction to, you know, early 200 years ago when we focused primarily on cognitive, the head stuff. And then we have to focus more on participation, the active involvement in the Christian community, getting, rolling our sleeves up and getting our hands active in services, as opposed to just primarily a performance-oriented service. And then the new epic model, we make use of art. We make images. Art and poetry is central to Christian vitality. And older traditional models, no images. We leave that stuff out. And this is a big one. I hear this all the time in young people. Our connection with God is through each other. Whereas in an older paradigm, our connection with God was through the service itself. So this is a new emerging paradigm that Leonard Sweet. And so we've been thinking about this as a clergy and as a leadership team and putting stuff in this service itself, but also intentionally building a service that does these things. And so I want to share with you about our experiments of what we've been doing in these services. So Wonder in the Soil, the first gathering we had, we call it the Wildflower Gathering. And the first one we had, I bought $200 worth of snacks and drinks, and I thought this is going to be amazing, and I sent an email out, and I knew in the back of my mind, leadership does not work this way, and I was like, everyone's going to show up, it's going to be amazing, we're going to do this epic thing, and it'll be really cool. Well, 11 faithful people showed up, and that's okay, because every person matters, but we have some higher goals than 11 people at this service, and so But out of the 11, this amazing family showed up, the Rollison family, and they just particularly had a passion in their heart to figure out what an epic service could mean at St. Andrew. Some people refer to Jared and I as the right brain and the left brain. I'll let you figure out which one we are. And we have met for the last 2 years, almost every Saturday morning at 6 a.m. at Panera Bread. You can see us meeting there. Trying to figure out what an epic service means in the soil of the people and the greater community of St. Andrew. And so we also have a lot of fun at our Wildflower Gathering with boas and Roman armor. And we've put together this gathering. And I just want to share with you some pictures of what we've been trying to do out of this epic style. So we typically, you could kind of see, we share a meal with one another. Then we move to the center circle. And then we have some encounters on the stage in the fellowship hall where people actually come up afterward and encounter. They do things like pray, and as you'll see in a minute. We've involved younger people in service itself. And then we finally came up with, a lot of people were like, what do you do? And in the early days, it was like, I have no idea, something epic. And now we've come up with this definition. The Wildflower Gathering is an experiential encounter with the Christian faith. We begin with a welcoming atmosphere over a homemade meal served buffet style. This is followed by community singing and creative teaching. The evening ends with opportunities for you and your families to interact, create, connect, and change the world. Prepare for creative explosions of inspiration that will challenge and nurture your faith journey. We explore spoken word poems, hymn mashups, live paintings, random flash mobs, and more. Child care is available after the meal for families if they choose. Be warned, this is a family-friendly environment. As kids laugh and play, we can be loud and we don't worry about messes. We meet on the third Saturday of each month from 5:30 to 7:30. And the most amazing part of Wonder is people actually showed up. And so I show with you what we did on Christmas Eve. We got 200 people on the stage in the fellowship hall, which was really fun. And we've had an outdoor event, people gathering, community building. And then I want to tell you some distinctive ways we wanted to water these amazing people that were attending. And so we water through our singing. Tim Coons is our worship leader, and he has an ear for the contemporary models and forms of music, but also an ear for the ancient hymn books. And so basically we do a lot of hymn mashups, which is basically like Glee without the high school drama. And so most recently, Tim had put together an incredible arrangement of a Mumford & Sons tune with a Be Thou My Vision hymn. And so the creativity we're trying to capture and the high-quality musicianship that can relate to people in meaningful, meaningful ways. And we've watered with prayer. One of the stations we do every week is a simple prayer station. And you would be amazed at the kids and families who simply light a candle for someone that they love or someone that's going through a hard time. This is my favorite picture ever. Okay, so this is Becca J and Ryder J. And if you notice his left hand, it's a Matchbox car. So, the spirit of what we want to capture, that playfulness of a child and that reaching to grow in your faith is something new. And then we've watered it with communion, the very breaking of the bread and the cup. And then with creative projects throughout the night and themes that matter to people. So we put on the tables bricks and said, right on one side what divides the world and right on the other side what unites the world. So then we built this wall. And then the challenge at the end of the night was, take your brick home and make something beautiful out of it. And so one amazing family took a chunk out of the hate and put this little flower, this green foliage to grow. Another young kid built this cross out of his brick. Another one broke the brick up and had the idea of making it a heart. Incredible stuff. And so we do a lot of art. We water it with art to give kids and families a practical touch of what it means. And we create these experiences with families so that they can grow in their wildflower hearts. So then you can see what happens, the movement and the energy. And then we encounter live paintings that are not on the side, but are central to the message of the whole night. And then we create encounters for families to encounter. We involve young families in every part of the service. And there's laughter, and there's joy, and there's a whole lot of messes. And then we water it with every single event has a justice opportunity in the space itself. So one thing we've always wondered about is, why is justice apart from our worship service? Well, at the Wildflower Gathering, you can pack a bag for Project Cure. And you can actually sign a board for the local habitat build. And you can pray when churches and our world goes through devastating losses like floods. We pick a church and we pray for that pastor and we send him our prayers and our thoughts, him or her. You have multiplied, O Lord, my God, your wondrous deeds. And so there's this other element that I want to get to grow something, it takes God. It takes the sunshine in the air. And so I want to share with you, over the last 2 years, we've had 20 gatherings. You can see there's the fabulous meeting of 11 people. And I had those snacks for 3 months, by the way, at my house. So we didn't waste. And you can see what's happened, 20 new families. We were able to raise $5,677 for Same Cafe. We have had 20 new families encounter our mission and vision at St. Andrew to become more through the gathering. And then we have 101 in average attendance over the 2 years. So God is doing something amazing in the hearts of the people who are attending. God is multiplying this wonder in our midst. And so then what I wanted to do is, I wanted to share with you some snippets of what young families have told me. Here are my thoughts after Dale asked me to create the flower arrangements for the Wildflower Gathering. I don't often get to both start and finish projects as a mom, and I love finding and enhancing the beauty of everything around me. So it was clearly the right job for me. Finishing the job and seeing how lovely the arrangements looked was incredibly satisfying, and it was so fun to be able to find another creative way to serve St. Andrew. And then there's this one. If it weren't for the wildflowers, our family would never have found St. Andrew. The Wildflower Gathering was there, waiting for us when we were struggling through an emotionally challenging time. It allowed us to grow with God in a new way we never thought possible. Wildflowers respected our questions while leading us to a place of complete acceptance and love. Wildflowers showed us that our greatest dreams of what a relationship with God could be right under our feet, flourishing in the most unlikely of places. And I didn't even have to pay her for this. And then this one. Our family has made the Wildflower Gathering a part of our regular connection to God. The chance to share a meal with friends and have a great worship and even greater teaching is a treasure. We are in our second year hosting international exchange students in high school. We have had two from France, and neither were believers. Last year, our student said that the Wildflower Gathering was the first time in her life to attend a Christmas service. Our French student this year has been really excited to participate in church through the Wildflower. A further impact on our family has been our 26-year-old son. He's able to play guitar as a part of worship and is a regular participant in Wildflowers. Saturday night is normally a work night for him, but even his boss has noted how creative he was in shifting schedules so he could be free to attend the Wildflower Gathering. Wow. And then my last one for you. We appreciate the Wildflower Gathering because it is raw and real and honest and kind. It doesn't just tolerate people, but celebrates them and welcomes them where they are at, broken, joyful, filled, or empty. It's a place to which we want to be and can invite our friends. We bring people so they can experience the power and energy and intentionality of worship. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be counted. And so I want to share with you some really exciting news about where we're headed in my last minutes with you. The Wildflower Gathering will go weekly on Sunday morning at 10:30 in January. Thank you. Thank you. Three reasons for you, for our analytical. Our mission field, 10:30 a.m., is still the best possible place to invite, receive, nurture, challenge, and send disciples from the age of 12 to 45. And those with adventurous spirits that want to journey with us as well. This quote came from Bill Humans. He told me, "The Wildflower Gathering describes for me what we do. Coming together as individuals, as a community, to love and support and grow. We're an amazing collection of folks. Some hippies, some hipsters, some very young and hip, and some with artificial hips." Not bad, right? Our second reason for the Sunday morning 10:30 is that allows no separation from the mission and vision of St. Andrew. The Epic service is not alternative. It's not off campus. It's not at night. It is a service of St. Andrew that offers a different worship style, which is really important to us. And third, the resources of a flourishing children's ministry and youth ministry and amazing faces and voices of love like yourself. So it takes seed, soil, water, and sunshine to make wildflowers bloom. And I want to tell you this morning, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for your steadfast support of the mission and vision of St. Andrew. It is the Wildflower Gathering as well as other vibrant ministry areas that your faithful stewardship dollars have invested into. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Here's three practical ways that we could use your help. We'd love for you to share positively what we are trying to do in your sphere of influence. Share with your neighbors, your friends, your grandkids and kids. You can go to my website or the church's website and share recent teachings and events that we're putting on. And secondly, pray for the Wildflower team as we prepare for weekly gatherings. And third, you can give to the Becoming More Stewardship campaign because your dollars are making a difference in the lives of people. Thank you for allowing me to share this morning. And as we transition into worship, I say to you one more time, you have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds. Amen.